right. Well, today we are starting a brand new series, and it's called Pathways, and it connects to a course that we're going to be teaching on Sunday nights, and it's going to be from 5:30 to 7 right here, and we will have childcare. We will not have supper, but you can bring your own food, or we'll have some snacks, but we'd love for you to be there, and for each of you who come, we've got a little workbook for you, and so we'd love for you to be here 5:30 to 7 on Sunday nights, and it corresponds with what we're talking about on Sunday mornings. Today we're going to be looking at connecting with God. Everybody say that with me, connecting with God. We're going to start in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, but we're going to be doing something a little bit different. Normally we walk through a specific passage, but this morning we're going to be looking at three passages from the book of John that really show us what it looks like to connect with God. And so if you remember, like, old school, like, you grew up in church and we had, like, sword drill, you know, like, you'd have the Bible, you always had to have binding out, right? Binding down, and you just, like, grab it real quick and try to find something. And you always hoped you had your good Bible, right? That Bible that was, like, all broken in. For those of you who did not grow up in church, you're like, I have no clue what he's talking about. That's okay. We'll have them up on the screen for you, okay? And or you can pull them up on your phone. Some of you have gotten really fast at that in your YouVersion app, and so it's called cheating, right? And that's okay. We'll let you use your YouVersion app too. But we're going to start in Colossians 2 because I think it roots and grounds our message today, which is about connecting with God. Here's what it says. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. So we're going to walk in Him. We want to be rooted and built up in Him and established. That's what we need. We need to be established in the faith. Let's pray just a moment together and ask God to help us to understand these words today. Jesus, we love You. We thank You for Your Word. We thank You for how it is unchanging and how Your Word points us to Jesus, who we can walk with every day. We can be rooted and grounded in love. We can be built up in Him. We can be established in our faith. And as we do this, we can abound in thanksgiving. God, we ask for Your help as we study the Scriptures today, as we look at what it looks like to be connected to God. We ask You for Your help in Jesus' name. Everybody said? Amen. So when it comes to connecting with God, there are several types of listeners who are here today. There are some of you who are not connected to God at all. You're not connected to God at all, and it's our desire amongst everything that's happening this morning in your life that you would get connected to God, that you would meet Jesus today. That's why we're here. That's why we have this space on the walking mall. That's why we pay all the money to meet here. That's why we work on it. That's why we try to make a friendly atmosphere. That's why we sing. That's why Aaron and the worship team gets here early and practices. That's why Melissa, everybody say hi to Melissa back there in the booth. That's why she makes sure it sounds great, right? This is why we're here, is that you would meet Jesus, that you would have an encounter with Jesus. Nothing else right now matters other than you meeting Jesus and beginning to walk with Jesus and be connected to Him. For those of you who are connected to God, there's a kind of listener that's here today who has heard messages about connecting with God, and you're immediately like, okay, he's going to talk about prayer and fasting, and he's going to talk about silence and solitude. He's going to talk about spiritual disciplines. Just so you know, we're not going to talk about those this morning. We're going to talk about those tonight. When you come back for the workshop, we'll talk about those. But this morning, we want to talk about the essence of what it means to connect with God. What does it look like to connect with God? And so some of you, when you hear messages like this, you hear shame, you hear guilt, you hear all kinds of things over your life. You're assuming that if you don't do these things, then God doesn't love you, He doesn't care about you. And you assume that connecting with God is like connecting with your spouse. And it means like you're only connected if you only go on a date night. Or you only celebrate holidays together. But we all know that relationships are much, much more complicated than just going on a date night. Right, husbands? They're much more complicated than that. We got a whole row full of husbands, right? Their wives are out. And we know it's way more complicated than that, right, fellas? If it was that easy, we would all be happy, right? This is both for the Christian and the non-Christian. You think connecting with God is just doing some religious things, but that's not the case. Then there's a third listener that's here this morning, and you're connected with God. You are connected with God. You walk with Him every day. And it's almost as if you are like back in the garden when Adam and Eve were walking and talking with God. And what you need to hear this morning is God loves you. He cares about you. And He wants to encourage you this morning to continue your walk. To continue your walk with Him. So either way, we all need and must be connected to God. But at times, it can feel like an impossible task. Anybody feel that with me this morning? It feels like an impossible task to be connected to God. Essentially, what we're talking about is following Jesus. Following Jesus. That's what it means to be connected to God, to follow Him. Now, we hear this language of being a follower all the time, right? Some of us have followers on social media. We have followers on social media. Maybe we follow a band. Somebody tell me your favorite band this morning. AC/DC. Oh my goodness, that's awesome. All right, we got a band, okay? Somebody else, your favorite band that you follow.
King and Country.
King and Country, that's awesome. Somebody else, give me one more. It's interactive. What was it? Okay, Rent. All right, let's give me one more. One more. Yeah. Mercy Me. I like that. Right back there. Somebody. That's awesome. Awesome. Or maybe you're a follower of a brand or a movement. We even hear this language in the church. We are followers of Jesus. But what does that mean? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Well, essentially, he gives us several terms in the scriptures, and one of them is being a disciple. Now, when we hear that, all of us have different definitions when it comes to that, but that word disciple simply means a learner, an apprentice. An apprentice. My brother-in-law right now is an apprentice as a lineman. Not like the lineman like we're going to see today on the football field, but a lineman who has been incredibly busy these last couple weeks as a result of Ida. And so he repairs telephone lines and power lines. And in fact, he's about to go to climbing school, and he's going to be trained to be a climber so that he can be a lineman, an effective lineman, and he gets paid ridiculous amounts of money to climb up and fix broken down power lines. And he's an apprentice. He's learning what it means to be a lineman. And this is essentially what Jesus invites us into, to be an apprentice of his. And simply put, it means to reorganize your life around three goals. You can write these down. You can put them in your notes. These are the three goals that Jesus invites us into when he calls us to be an apprentice of Jesus. And it's these three things. Be with Jesus. Be with Jesus. Become like Jesus. and to do what Jesus did. Now, one of those for each of us in this room may seem like it's an impossibility. Be with Jesus, become like Jesus, and do what Jesus did. These are essentially the three things that we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. Today, next Sunday, and the Sunday after, is what does it look like to be with Jesus, to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to do what Jesus did. Now, this is an entire life's pursuit. It's not just an event that happens on Sunday. I think that's the lie that many of us have kind of bought into, that being with Jesus is just showing up on Sunday. We're glad that you're here. We hope you come back. We hope you bring people with you. We hope this room becomes filled and we have to add services. We hope that we grow out of this building. We hope all of those things. We pray for all of those things. But ultimately, it's not about what happens here on Sunday. It is important. We're thankful for it. It's not even about what will happen tonight at the workshop on Sunday night and talking about spiritual disciplines and pursuing Jesus and seeing what it looks like to get connected to community. That's what we'll talk about next week. And it's really also not so much about being connected to our purpose. It is important. Those things are a reality. But it's a way of life. A way of life in a community around the teachings of Jesus. To live this way means that we need to be transformed from the inside out. So the question is this the kind of deep, authentic, radical change that has happened in your life? Has it happened in my life? Is this possible, even in the modern digital world that's full of craziness? Is this possible? I believe that it is. You see, through the teaching, practice, community, the Holy Spirit, we can recover our humanity in apprenticeship to Jesus. We can. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. So our big idea today is this, is that God desires us to be a self-feeder who helps others grow. He wants us to be a self-feeder who helps others grow. In other words, if you are dependent upon this on Sunday mornings, solely and only to help you become an apprentice to Jesus, that is similar to like my brother-in-law showing up on the day after a hurricane and saying, I'm here to help. And having no knowledge, no ability, no tools, no instruction, no climbing equipment, this is essentially what many of us do, is we think that apprenticeship to Jesus is simply what happens here on Sunday. And Jesus has so much more for us than this. But before you hear that as guilt and shame, you need to lay that baggage down, because before we talk about apprenticeship to Jesus, we got to lay down the shame, the guilt, and the stuff. We have to lay down this idea that it requires just more discipline. I just got to do it more. And there's a whole lot more grace, a whole lot more kindness, a whole lot more joy, a whole lot more forgiveness, a whole lot more mercy than you even know and even recognize. So, let's dive into the book of John a little bit this morning. The first passage we're going to look at that helps us to see what it means to be connected to God, what it looks like to be a self-feeder who helps others grow. Let's look at John chapter 1. And let's go down to verse 35. John chapter 1, verse 35. The next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples. That's John the Baptist. And he's preparing the way for the Lord. He's that guy who's wearing crazy clothes and eating weird food out in the wilderness, but he's declaring that there's a Messiah coming, and he has people who are following him. And it says the next day, again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. How about that? What's that like? Like, I'm going to go leave this guy who I've been following, and I'm going to go follow Jesus. The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, "What are you seeking?" I love this question that Jesus asks. And they said to him, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "where are you staying?" And he said to them, "Come and you will see." So they came and saw where he was staying, and they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. You see, this is the simple invitation of Jesus. Come and see. This is what he invites you and I into. Come and see. You see, the first thing that we need to understand in being connected with God and being a self-feeder who helps others grow is by embracing a come-and-see approach. This is what it means to follow Jesus. Come and see. Let's skip down to verse 43. Skip down to verse 43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" It's kind of like us saying, "Can anything good come out of West Virginia?" Right? Yes, Allie, right? And Brandon, right? And Drew and Cherry, right? It's kind of like a little knock on, like Nazareth was kind of like a little hick town, right? Can anything good come out of Berkeley Springs? Really? That's what he's saying. Philip said to him, "Come and see." There it is again. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." He's like not playing games with him. He's like, "I was walking down the road. I saw you. You were standing over there by the tree." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered him, "Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." You see, here's the deal. Getting connected to God is all about come and see. We complicate our relationship with God way beyond that. We think it's this list of do's and don'ts. There certainly are those. But it comes down to embracing a come and see approach to God. You see, what we do is we make it about what we do for God rather than being with God. Come and see. This is the invitation that God gives to you and I every day. Come and see. Come and see what I'm going to do today. This is the invitation that God gives to you when you come to school and you show up to school. This is the invitation that God gives to you and I when we show up to our workplace. Come and see what I'm up to. Come join me, come follow me. This is the invitation when we sit down to do the homework with our kids. We don't do it for them, right, parents? We do it with them. Come and see. This is the invitation that God invites us into when we are suffering and we're hurting. This is the invitation that God invites us into when we're on an airplane headed to go to a funeral. This is the invitation that God invites us into when our spouses are away, when our kids go off to college, this is the invitation of Jesus. Come and see for yourself. All I have to offer is really that good and really that true. Come and be with me. This is the offer of Jesus still. Come be with me. Come hang out with me. The question is, have you taken him up on his offer? This is essentially the offer that Jesus has been giving to mankind since the garden. If you go back to Genesis, when all was created and man and woman were created, it says they walked and talked with God in the garden. Come and see. They showed up to see him, to be invited to walk with him, to be with him. Do you notice that in the garden it is like, hey, let's sit down and let's do some silence and solitude. Like, those are important things. Let's do a Bible study together. The Bible wasn't written at that point in time. But the Word of God was true. It was breathed out and he was with them. Come and see. Do we have that kind of relationship with God? He's inviting us into this. How different would your approach to life be if you simply said, I can't wait to come and see what God is going to say today. I can't wait to come and see how God is going to make this work and how he's going to provide. I can't wait to come and see what he's going to say to me today. I can't wait to come and see and talk to my Heavenly Father and see what he has for me. It's a game changer when you begin to embrace a come and see type relationship with God. This morning, as I was sitting up in a room upstairs from here and was just listening to some worship music and praying and waiting for Brandon. Brandon always comes up and prays with me. Brandon Haynes usually comes and prays, and several others. And I began to just listen to some worship music, and as I was listening to it, I was just saying, God, come, I'm here to come and see what you have to do today. And I was reminded of this passage of just simply stepping towards Jesus. And maybe that's you today. You don't have a relationship with God, and he's inviting you to just come and see, to come and see what it looks like to follow him. And if you choose to do this today by the power of the Holy Spirit, your life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same because you've been invited into apprenticeship with Jesus, following him. So being connected to God starts by embracing a come and see approach. Let's stay in the book of John. Let's flip over to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. He shows us something else here that doesn't look like do more, try harder, but looks like him coming to help us. Let's look at verse 15. He says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now, all the religious people in this room are like, yes, he's going to talk to me about rules and doing more and trying harder. But that's not what he does. Look what he does. It's so crazy. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. These things I have spoken to you. Verse number 25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you in all things and bring to your remembrance all I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The second thing that we need to understand about being connected to God and being a self-feeder who helps others grow is this idea that it happens by consistently connecting through the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit is our constant contact to God. I love this because Jesus tells his disciples to come and see and come and follow him. And then he goes and gets himself killed. He dies for the sins of the world, and he's buried and rises from the dead, and he ascends to heaven. And they're like, but how do we follow you? You have to think about this for just a moment. They lived in a Jewish culture where they followed a legit rabbi, a teacher. And in John chapter 1, they call him teacher. They call him rabbi. And they lay down their jobs and they lay down their lives to go follow this person and to walk around with him. And now he dies and he's buried and he rises from the dead and he's gone. Who do we follow now? And Jesus, prior to this, tells him, when I go, I'm going to leave you the helper, the Holy Spirit. Now, this is incredibly important for us because many of us, we read God's Word, we study God's Word, and we try to do it on our own. We try to do it on our own. Rather than constantly and consistently leaning into the Holy Spirit who is with you, he never leaves you, he never forsakes you. And here's a really practical way that you can do this. Invite him in when you read this. He authored this. He spoke this into existence. He breathed these words into life so that we have these. Invite him in. Just simply ask him. Over the years in pastoring, I've met with individuals and I'll ask them about their walk with God. And I'll ask them, hey, do you read God's Word? I do, but I don't get anything out of it. And I'll say, okay, well, what have you been reading? I've been reading through the Old Testament. Okay, that's cool. I love the Old Testament. Before you read, what do? And they're like, what do you mean? I get my Bible out. Okay, that's good. That's a great place to start. After that, what do? Well, I open it up. That's good. Right, Gil? That's good? Absolutely. You can't read it without opening it, right? What do you do after that? I read it. Oh, okay. Do you do anything before that? At this point, they're looking at me like I'm crazy. Maybe you are too. But I said, before you read, did you pray? Sure, I did. Yeah. Who did you pray to? To God. What did you pray? I don't know. I said, did you invite God to speak to you? Never thought about that. I'm like, okay, so the author who wrote this book, who is with you, you didn't ask him to help you to understand? The helper who never leaves you nor forsakes you, the one who's always with you, whether you're sinning or you're walking with him, if you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is with you. The Holy Spirit isn't for varsity Christians, it's for all of us. He gives you himself when he saves you. And you didn't ask him to help you? How about we do that right now? It's amazing when you sit down to read the scriptures, if you will simply ask him to help you understand it, how he shows up every time. You know what? How do I come up with the messages every week? I ask him, what do you want me to say? And he tells me. Like he doesn't speak to me audibly, but he talks to me through the pages of this word. And as I begin to pray and listen and ask him to help me understand what the people at Mosaic need, I begin to listen to that and I just write down what he tells me to say. It's through a consistent connecting through the Holy Spirit. We step into reading God's word. We step into serving our gifts through the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how hard it is to serve when you serve in your own strength? This is when we get burned out. This is when we get wore out. This is when we get tired. But when we rest in the power of the Holy Spirit, we could serve all day. We could preach all day. I could preach all day today. I won't, I promise you. But we could, because we're empowered by the Holy Spirit. But how much more apprenticing and following Jesus is difficult when we try to do it in our own strength? How about when we step into our living? Did you know that the Holy Spirit is ever present with you? Not for a moment does he leave you or forsake you. He is always with you. He's with you when you're in that appointment. He's with you when you're at your job. He's with you when you're at school. He's with you all the time. Apprenticeship to Jesus is constantly connecting and growing in our awareness of him. Now, there certainly are disciplines, and we'll talk about that tonight, that help us do this. But really, what I want you to hear this morning, Mosaic, is connecting with God is consistently connecting to him through the Holy Spirit. He's with you. He's for you. I love that phrase, he will give you another helper. It's tough to translate, but it literally means another one like me, another like Jesus. Just as Jesus saved us from our sins and failure and helped us and changes us because of his sacrifice, because we couldn't help ourselves, the Spirit will come and help us in a way that we could not help ourselves. You cannot live the connected apprentice life apart from the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't. You cannot be connected to God apart from him. This is why he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And essentially, the baseline of following Jesus comes down to come hang out with me. Come and see. Come be with me by the Holy Spirit. And lastly, one more passage. This last point is going to sound strange to you, but I promise you it'll make sense. Connecting with God happens, number one, by embracing a come and see approach. Number two, by consistently connecting through the Holy Spirit. And lastly, by learning to be two places at one time. You're like, what is he talking about? Let's look at chapter 15. Chapter 15 of John. He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you, unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. And the branches are gathered, thrown up into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples, my apprentices, my learners. See, John 15 gives us a metaphor of what it is supposed to look like, what connection to God is supposed to look like. It's a branch that's connected to the vine. If I had a branch that I broke off the tree in my front yard this morning, I got a tree that's super scraggly. It was not a tree that should have been planted. There's like a little, like, bunch of branches down towards the bottom, and then there's this long kind of skinny thing, and then there's like a few little scraggly branches up at the top. Anybody who knows how to fix trees can come take a look at mine and try to help me. But I thought about breaking one of those off that had a few leaves on it and bringing it this morning and said, can this branch bear fruit? And the answer is what? No. No matter how hard it tries. Like if I was a branch like that and was sitting here this morning and I was like, please grow some fruit. No matter how hard I strained, no matter how much I want to bear fruit, if it's not connected to that tree, there is no way that it's ever going to. And the reality is, as many of us, we try to connect with God on our own, apart from Him. And Jesus speaks to this. And He gives us this word, abide. 10 times in this passage, this word abide shows up. And literally it's translated in a way that helps us to understand what it means. It means to stay or remain or abide or wait for or remain in a place or state or expect something in the future, to continue to exist or remain in existence, to keep on, to stay connected to. That's what that word abide means. And Jesus likens our connection to Him to a branch abiding in the vine. Essentially, what Jesus is saying is, get into my presence and stay there. Get into my presence and stay there. Stay rooted and grounded in me and stay there as much as you can, as long as you can. Root yourself, ground yourself, center yourself in His presence all day long. Being connected to God comes down to learning to always be in two places at one time. Because if being connected to God simply was dependent on having a Bible and a cup of your favorite coffee in your favorite chair, looking out your favorite window with your favorite view, it would rarely happen. Abiding in Him means you and I have to learn to be connected to Him while being in two places all at the same time. In His presence and in our car on the way to school. In His presence and check an email. In His presence and in the pickup line getting our kids from school. In His presence and at self-checkout at Walmart, right, Tyson? In His presence. And at Mosaic on Sunday morning, in His presence, and taking the trash down to the street on Tuesday night because the pickup is on Wednesday morning, making sure the chains on ours is hooked because there's bears in Front Royal, right? In His presence, always two places at one time. And this is what God is inviting us into. He's inviting us to come and be with Him. But many of us fail to recognize this, and here's what it looks like. I'm going to give you a metaphor because Jesus gave us a metaphor. He tells us to come and see. He invites us to come hang out with Him. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And it's like this. If I were to invite you over to my house today, Got the Blackstone. We're going to throw some food out on that. And I were to invite you out to my house today. And you drive down, you come down 81, you get off on 66, you get off on exit 6, that first exit in Front Royal. You wind your way through the S-curve, the fun little turns and spins through Front Royal, and you make sure you do 25 so that you don't get pulled over by the Front Royal police. Okay? You come down Happy Creek Road, you turn on Ewell, and you turn onto Ashby Street. You pull into 1130. I just gave you my address, that's fine. 1130 Ashby Street, and you pull in right there to a brand new house. And you come inside. And as you come inside, I say, make yourself at home. You begin to make yourself at home, and you sit down, and I go out the back to the back deck, and some of you have been there, and I pull the cover off the grill, and I heat up the grill, and I put some oil on there, and I realize I forgot to buy meat for our hangout today, or vegetables if you're vegan. We can make you feel at home there too. And I begin to think about all of that, and realize I didn't get everything that I needed, and I say to you, make yourself at home. Relax. Get a drink out of the fridge. And relax. Now, not one of you would get up and say, you know what I ought to do? I ought to clean something. You know what I ought to do? I ought to like maybe help cut some vegetables up. I ought to like maybe help get started. You know what I ought to do? I ought to like paint the room, you know, and just start making the house a little homier. If you did, I would have you arrested, just so you know. I invite you to come over and relax. To come and hang out. This is what Jesus is inviting us into, is to come hang out with Him. And in this passage that we read in John chapter 14, He says, hey, I'm going somewhere, but I'll be right back. And yet He leaves us the Holy Spirit to come hang out with us, to come sit with us, to be with us while He's away, while He's preparing a place for us. He leaves us the Holy Spirit to come hang out with us. He doesn't at one point say, start doing this, do the dishes, cut the vegetables up, do this for me, be this way for me. No, He says, come and see, come sit down, come relax, come be with me. Come learn what it looks like to be two places at one time. This is what Jesus invites us into. Yes, the spiritual disciplines are important because we're going to talk about those tonight. But He's inviting us to an abiding relationship with Him. Relaxing and finding our home in Him, regardless of where we find ourselves. Learning to be two places at one time, rooted and grounded, abiding, walking, built up, established in Him. Jesus calls this abiding. Paul calls this prayer without ceasing. Is he saying you should be talking and praying all the time? No, he's saying, come and find your home in Him. Know what it looks like to abide in Him. And wherever you're at, be able to invite yourself into a relationship and talk to Him. It's what Brother Lawrence talked about in practicing the presence of God. Listen to what he says as we wrap up this morning. He says, the time of business does not with me differ from my time of prayer. In the noise and clatter of my kitchen, he was a 15th century monk who was a dishwasher. That was his job. He says, in the noise and clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling for different things, I possess God as in great tranquility, as if I were on my knees before the Blessed Sacrament. For a 15th century monk, there was no more intimate time than early in the morning taking communion. And he says, I possess God just as much as when I take this sacrament, like we are going to this morning, as when I'm in a kitchen that's in a rush trying to get dinner out. God is inviting you into a come and see relationship with Him. Connecting constantly through the Holy Spirit. He is with you. He never leaves you alone to figure this out on your own and learning to be in two places at one time. The question is have you been connected to God? Our connection to God is through Jesus and His work. And we celebrate that this morning as we take the bread and the cup and we celebrate the broken body of Jesus and the shed blood of Jesus. This is how we get connected to God, is through His sacrifice. It's not through our doing, it's not through our trying, but it's through His sacrifice and the finished work of Jesus. Have you been connected to God through this? Are you embracing a do more, try harder approach to your apprenticeship with Jesus? Or are you embracing a come and see, abiding relationship with Him? How He found you is how you stay connected. How He found you is how you stay connected. He sought after you. He pursued you. He saved you. He changed you. He forgave you. And you fell on your knees before Him. You fell on your face before Him, trusting in His forgiveness. This is how you stay connected to Him. Are you relying on the Holy Spirit, or are you relying on yourself? Are you abiding with Him throughout your day? Are you learning to be two places at one time? By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can do that. By the power of His Spirit, you can learn to abide with Him. Let's pray.